As we are approaching the end of the Coptic year, the church takes the opportunity to remind each of us that sooner or later we must end our temporary life on earth. And we are also, of course, reminded that He who created us by His word is the same one who is able to raise us again from the dead. Although it's important to realize that this life will pass away, it's also more important to focus on another type of death, which is more serious, the death of sin. And the reading that we just heard, the raising of the body of Lazarus, the raising of him bodily from the dead, is a symbol of the raising of each of us spiritually from the death of sin. And just like my body, if it loses life, it's naturally called dead. Also, my spirit, if it loses the life with God, is indeed dead. But just as the Lord commanded Lazarus to come forth to rise from the death, the Lord commands me to rise from my spiritual death of sin. And this, of course, is what is called repentance, or arising from sin and returning to the Lord. And it's fitting that we'll speak briefly about topics related to repentance today, as the Lord, the Holy Spirit, arranged for today to coincide with the feast day of a great example of repentance, St. Mary Magdalene, who completely changed her life around from being a sinful woman, as it is said she used to be. She was possessed by seven devils, and she turned into a saintly woman, a preacher, the first to witness the resurrected Lord at the tomb. And since we want to speak about repentance today, we will go to the source of great writings about repentance, one of the church forefathers who we can say holds a PhD in repentance, St. Augustine. We'll take three contemplations from St. Augustine's writings about the reading of today, the raising of Lazarus. St. Augustine reminds us that this miracle holds a special place amongst all the miracles that the Lord committed while he was here with us on earth. And St. Augustine is also quick to tell us that we should not be surprised that the Lord, who created me and Lazarus, who created everyone, the same Lord who gave life to Lazarus in the first place, should not be surprising that the Lord is able to give back life to Lazarus by his word. Now we'll take the first contemplation of St. Augustine about this miracle. St. Augustine saw a deep meaning in the prayer of the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. And you might not recognize that there was a prayer that they prayed, because the gospel did not explicitly mention a prayer as such. But we all know prayer is communication with God, and surely the sisters sent a message to the Lord saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Now notice St. Augustine says that the sisters didn't say, "Come, Lord." And why didn't they need to say, "Come, Lord"? It's because they had a very close, intimate relationship with the Lord that was so deep that they did not need to say to the Lord, "Please come." They knew that the Lord loved them and loved their brother, and is not a Lord who abandons those he loves. So they did not need to ask the Lord to come, but simply said, "Lord, here's the situation. He whom you love is sick." Those who read last night's Vespers gospel reading, they noticed another situation where there was someone who had almost at the point of death. There was a centurion who was a good man, and he had a servant or a lad of his who was at the point of death. He also sent to the Lord, but he sent it a slightly different way. His message was full of faith. He said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter my house. I'm not a Jewish man. I don't want you to defile yourself by entering into a Gentile man's house. Only say the word, and I have faith that the boy will be healed." This also is good. But the prayer of Mary and Martha is even deeper because they have a closer relationship. They don't need to say to the Lord, We have faith that you can, from where you are, command that Lazarus be healed. All they need to say is, here's the situation, Lord, and you know what to do. Lord, he whom you love is sick. That's all they needed to say, because they know that the Lord is loving, caring. One who, as we hear in the fraction prayer, Abuna says, he is the help of those who flee to him, the hope of those who cry out to him. Never abandons us in our time of need. So from this first contemplation of St. Augustine on the prayer of Mary and Martha, I can learn also, like Mary and Martha, when I have trouble, say, in my life, I need to have the same close relationship with him, with the Lord, as the sisters did. And if I have this closeness and intimacy with the Lord, then instead of advising him or telling him how to solve the problem, I would simply just present the situation at the Lord's feet. So if my brother or sister is tired or sick or suffering or in need, I could send the same message to the Lord. Lord, they whom you love are sick. If my brothers and sisters, for example, are suffering elsewhere in the world, in Egypt or elsewhere, I should send the message to the Lord. Lord, those whom you love are suffering. And most importantly, if I am struggling with a specific weakness or sin in my spiritual life, if I'm tempted by the lusts of the flesh or the lusts of the eyes or the pride of this temporary life, I need to quickly send the message to the Lord. Lord, my weak self, whom you love, is sick. The church also teaches us a similar short prayer called the arrow prayer that we can say privately over and over. My Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is a similar prayer, and it's called an arrow prayer because it's short and quick and effective, like shooting an arrow to send the message to the Lord. Now, once I send the message to the Lord, he may choose to come right away, or he may choose to wait 2 days or 2 months or even 2 years, but I have to be sure that he heard the prayer, he hears my message, and will come because he loves us and is able to raise us from the death of sin. If he waits, he perhaps wants to be sure that I want to be risen, but my job is just to keep praying and asking and waiting. Now also, if my brethren outside the church in the world are suffering, which they are because they do not know the Lord, perhaps they're stumbling in darkness because they do not have the true light of life. So I also here have a responsibility to send a message to the Lord saying, Lord, those whom you created are suffering and in need of your light. And this brings us actually to the second contemplation we want to review from St. Augustine's writings about this gospel reading. St. Augustine, as do the other church forefathers, St. Athanasius the Apostolic and St. Cyril the Pillar of Faith, they all contemplate on the words of the Lord when he said to his disciples, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And we know the Lord doesn't say anything haphazardly, and there are deep meanings in every word that the Lord utters. The church forefathers comment that the Lord Jesus Christ is, as you know, the true light. And in the prophecy of Malachi, Christ is referred to as the Sun of Righteousness, Sun, S-U-N, in Arabic, Shams al-Bir. If the Lord Jesus is the sun, the light, and the day, the forefathers comment that the 12 hours of the day can be seen as symbols of the 12 disciples or apostles of the Lord. Of course, there's a lot of symbolism in numbers in the Bible, in the numbers used in the Bibles, to the point that when one of the 12 disciples, as you know, Judas Iscariot, fell, it was important that they replaced him and appointed another, Matthias, to take his place so that there remains 12. St. Augustine sees Christ as the day, and the 12 apostles as the 12 hours of the day that follow the day. And in order not to stumble, I'm advised to walk in the day, to walk in Christ, and to follow the 12 hours of the day, meaning to walk and follow the teachings of the 12. The church forefathers also warn us that just as Christ is the day, the devil is symbolized by the darkness of night. And of course, he who walks in darkness will naturally stumble. So the practical lesson to take out of here is simple: to walk in the light of Christ. And David the psalmist says to the Lord, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." So I need to read the word of God so that it may enlighten my life and my life may be full of light. Because the caution is, even if I'm successful in my earthly life, but I'm away from the true source of life, my life will be without light, meaningless, dark, tasteless, and for sure I will stumble spiritually if I am away from the true light. So the solution to avoid reaching this miserable situation of spiritual darkness is to learn from both sisters, Mary and Martha. From Mary, we learn to sit quietly at the feet of the Lord to listen to his word. From Martha, we learn to be active. She ran to the Lord wherever he was. And we need to learn from both sisters, from Mary and her quiet and humble contemplations and life of piety, and from Martha's active life of service. We can't do one without the other. For the prayers of Mary support the service of Martha, and the service of Martha support Mary's deep contemplations. Now, our third contemplation from St. Augustine's writing is actually around death and sleep. St. Augustine comments that whereas to Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus was dead, but to our Lord Jesus Christ, Lazarus was merely sleeping. And St. Augustine says this is natural because to those who could not raise Lazarus, then they consider that Lazarus is dead. But of course, our Lord is able to wake Lazarus and each of us from the grave just as easily as one wakes someone who's asleep in bed. That's why the Lord said at the beginning to the 12, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Of course, St. Paul reminds us of this saying, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." Why? "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." St. Augustine reminds us that when the time comes for us to sleep, though, there is going to be a huge difference between two groups. One group are those who make an effort to live a godly life. Of course, they will stumble, but they make an effort to turn around and repent. That group, when they sleep, St. Augustine says, they will sleep comfortably, as if it were having pleasant dreams. Why? Because their spirit will be with the Lord in paradise. There is another group who refuse to live with God. And if I refuse to live with God, then when the time comes for me to sleep, God forbid, I will sleep as one who is in constant nightmares. And even worse, when my body awakes from sleep on Judgment Day, as all our bodies will, the condemnation will be worse than those nightmares. So there's a simple solution to avoid all this darkness and nightmares, and that's, of course, the role of my continual repentance. As we know, we are not perfect, but we can call on the Lord to raise us up when we fall. Just like little children learning to walk, when we stumble, they call to their parents to help them back up. For us, when we fall in sin, even if we remain in the darkness of the tomb of sin for 4 hours or 4 days or 4 years, the Lord is able to raise us up from darkness into his glorious light. So we'll review quickly the three learnings from St. Augustine on today's gospel reading in reverse order. I need to remember that life on earth will end when the time comes for me to sleep, to take rest from this world. So long as I live the life full of repentance, no need to fear death. Second point was that if I find I'm drifting away from the Lord, I need to realize that he is the true light. Go back to him, follow his words and teachings of his 12, so that I don't stumble in darkness. And the first point from St. Augustine was, when I fall in sin or in any problem, I can imitate the simple prayer of the sisters of Lazarus by presenting my problem to the Lord, saying, Lord, he whom you love is sick, and I need to leave it to the Lord to determine the best time and the best course of action, but I must be ready for him when he commands me to arise, saying to me, Lazarus, come forth. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
امي ماريتي مجداليني انت في كان النوبي غالب الجيف اسمارو تنجي يود نم بشيرين امبر نرمى ثواف تتريا ست
We believe in one God, God the Father, the one Creator, who created heaven and earth and all things seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, the light, true God, begotten, not created, once the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, was incarnate in the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. Appeared on the third day, rose from the dead, according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, sits right hand of his Father, and he is coming again to score and judge the living of the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the life giver, proceeds from the Father, who the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and one holy Catholic apostolic church. We confess and baptism for the mission of sins. Look for